Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the For Good podcast. My name is Jenna, and this is a place to talk about all of the thoughts, conversations, and people that have changed me and my life for the better and for good. Wow, sorry. I feel like I say this every time, so at some point it's going to start losing meaning, but sorry that it's been a while. Things got crazy busy, and even though it has been a while since I recorded, I'm excited to be talking with you all. To be completely honest, I'm feeling a little bit low energy. I'm feeling a little exhausted after the workday, but in the end, I think that this will feel good and be good to do, as a way to process a little bit of how I've been doing. And yeah, I think it will do more help than it would harm, I guess. Yeah, I think work has just felt very tiring lately. So I don't know if I feel like my best version of myself in this current moment, but I'm trying to give space for the part of me that feels like I'm not my best and the part of me that feels exhausted and unsure of how I'm feeling, and like letting that be okay too. But regardless of all that, I am excited for this conversation, today's conversation. Before jumping into that, I'll do just a quick high and low and one of the We're Not Really Strangers cards. For my high, I saw the movie Materialists on like Thursday of last week, I think. And if any of you are familiar with it, it is by Celine Song, who directed Past Lives. And that is one of my favorite movies of all time. Like, hands down, one of my favorite stories, and the way that it was framed and shot. I really, really love all the feelings that like that movie evoked and lets you sit with, and the ideas of the different relationships and people in our lives completely changing them, and the ones that we choose to stay with, and all the decisions that we make in our lives and how that can drastically change things. I really loved that movie. And so then this is another movie, same director, writer, and also about love and about dating. And I just thought that it had a really good and nuanced conversation, I thought, about dating. I know some people thought that it was kind of controversial. I won't spoil it or anything. But yeah, I appreciated the conversation about love and about modern dating and what that has come to. And I also listened to a podcast with her on it, and this won't be a spoiler, but the main character in the movie, Lucy, is a matchmaker, and then the podcast I was listening to interviewed Celine Song, and I found out that she was also a matchmaker, I think only for like 6 months, 6 or 7 months, but I don't know, I appreciated the way that it sounded like this movie reflected her life and like what she has learned about love and what she's experienced in her own life, and the way that she portrayed that through the movie. In the interview, she talked a lot about how love is a verb, and if it was a noun, then it would be something that would be just easy to acquire, and we use some of that acquisition language, like she talked about, like getting a boyfriend, getting a girlfriend. And if it was like that, then it would seem easy, but the fact that it's a verb makes it a lot more complex, and it's a conscious choice. But yeah, I just really, really appreciated getting to see that movie for one of my favorite directors and getting to hear that podcast conversation with her on it and like hearing more of her writing and perspective and her own experiences that went into the film itself. So that was a high from the past week. I think a low would definitely be a lot of the uncertainty and fear in the world right now and in like the political climate. But I think I'm definitely feeling that anxiety, and it's showing up in the clients that I'm working with. So I think I'm carrying the weight of trying to support them, and I know that like I'm coming from a very different perspective and experience and state of privilege compared to the clients that I serve. But even being on the periphery and being someone to help like hold that and process the fear and anxiety of others definitely weighs on you as well. Yeah, so not to the same extent that any of my clients are feeling it and experiencing it, but I think I'm still holding on to that a little bit. And I'm holding on to it and figuring out the best ways to try and process through that and work through that and show up for them and advocate for them in the ways that I can. But yeah, a lot of uncertainty and fear. Just a lot of cruelty and a lot of harm going on that does not make the work easy and definitely doesn't always feel hopeful. Yeah, so I'd say that has been weighing on me. And then for the "we're not really strangers" question, this one says, "What feedback forced me to grow recently, even if it was hard to hear in the moment?" Okay, this is back to like my sophomore year of college when I was a Barnabas or like a spiritual leader on my dorm floor, and I would meet with like a discipleship assistant. I don't know if it was every week or every other week. And I remember a piece of like feedback. I don't want to say criticism, but maybe it was a critique, but feedback she gave me where she was saying, "Jenna, I feel like you like to have everything together and like put up a good face and a good front and like just assume that everything is fine and going well." But she was kind of framing it saying that like if we portray that and like are scared to be honest with ourselves and honest with others about things that we're struggling with, then like that in itself can be a form of pride, which I feel like I hadn't heard framed in that way before, but I feel like that has definitely stuck with me and is something that I'm still trying to grow in because I'm not the best at being honest or being vulnerable. But that specific way of her framing that as a form of pride and like me wanting to like keep everything together because I'm scared of letting other people see flaws or see parts of me that are hurting was very, very powerful for me to hear at like that age specifically when there was a lot of changes going on in my life and in my beliefs and things like that. So I think like hearing this piece of feedback made me reflect on the image or the way that I present myself to others and how I want to be perceived by them. I think that matters to me more than I would like to admit. And if I'm like being honest about my flaws or things I'm struggling with or things that have been hard for me, then I think I do fear that like people will think less of me or people will have a different perception or understanding of me. And that makes me feel anxious and feel worried. But something that I saw recently that kind of relates to this is the quote talks about, I think the quote was something like, "Give the gift of going first," in regards to vulnerability and how we can be vulnerable first and share with people first and allow them the gift of like being able to go second. Like, you're going to be the one to share first and to be vulnerable and be open, and then allowing people to meet us there in that vulnerability and in that space where they can share too. But like being able to take that first step and share first and create an opportunity for people to feel comfortable to do the same. Hopefully that made sense, but I'm still trying to work on that. But I liked the way that that was framed and that was worded, and I want to keep doing better at that. And I hope that this podcast is just like a small snippet or small example of that, of offering space and holding space for conversations where people can feel like they can be their full selves and bring their full selves forward and like feel truly seen and truly known. So that kind of wraps up the intro for today's episode. I'm very excited for today's topic and to be joined by not only one guest, but three today. I have some former and some current housemates, Jamie, Mallory, and Sheila, joining the podcast. I am imagining the conversation will be much more laid back. You'll just get to be a fly on the wall for all things Enneagram and just kind of our girls' night conversation. I really hope you guys enjoy getting a sneak peek into our conversation. I hope you learn more about each of these girls and that it prompts you to reflect on yourself and your own Enneagram or personality type. And that, yeah, it can just bring some fruitful conversations or reflections for yourself as well. So I will just go ahead and jump into my conversation with Jamie and Mallory and Sheila.
Thanks for having us.
They're so cute. Literally, thank you for having us. She's like a tech girl.
No, I know.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. Today, I'm joined by former roommates, current roommates, best friends,
forever
soul
roomies.
Sisters. Say hi, everybody.
Hello.
That was terrifying.
No.
Okay, well, welcome to the podcast, thanks, everybody. You've all been individual guests, but
the
now you get to be
us.
Guests as a group.
Yeah. Well, they do if you want
to
learn
if
more.
If they listen
us,
to our episode,
season one,
so
episode
true.
Two.
From like 2 years ago.
Three, season right? Two episode. What was it? I don't even remember what episode number it is.
Yeah,
go back. And find the very ambiguous titles.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And see,
and see
who's the guest on which one.
To find us.
But I thought we could talk about the Enneagram, since we all know it, love it, talk about it a lot anyways. Mm-hmm. I feel like one of the best things about the Enneagram is getting to learn more about yourself and then learn about the people in your life, mm-hmm. how to show up for them, care for them, just like noticing different things about people so we can be better friends to them. And I feel like we've done that with each other. But I just thought it would be a good opportunity to talk about it together. In a laid-back, casual way,
yep.
No pressure.
Yep.
I told the girls I didn't plan much for this one, so we're just going to
roll
go where the conversation leads us. But maybe first we can just talk about what Enneagram we are and, I don't know, different attributes about that, how
what
much
about,
we resonate with it.
How? When did you learn what your type was?
That's
yes.
a very fun question.
Yes.
You want to kick us off?
Oh, God.
Or testimonies, if you will.
Great question.
Enneagram testimonies.
Do I want to kick us off?
Yeah.
You're going to say.
Okay. I can start. I first took the Enneagram test in high school, and I got a 2, which I feel like is mm-hmm. very classic for Christian women.
Mm-hmm.
And,
we're helpers.
We are. We're helpers. We are servants.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was, like, fully convinced that I was a 2, but I think it was just, like, being a people pleaser in high school
yep.
and wanting friends, which everyone does.
Absolutely.
And then, wow, this is my own question. I don't even remember exactly when I realized that I was actually a 1, but I think for a while I thought I was a 2-wing 1, and then on one of the many rediscovery journeys.
Mm-hmm.
I was, like, reading the descriptions again and felt very convicted by the 1
mm-hmm.
and felt much less persuaded by the description of the 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay, how would you describe the 1? What do you remember about, like, parts that resonate with you that you felt convicted
yeah.
by?
Well, I feel like all of the types sound very nice. For the most part, based on the name.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the 8 gets a bad rap sometimes. Maybe the 3 gets a bad rap, I don't know. But the 1 is the perfectionist or the reformer. And got a lot better, but I feel like was very much a perfectionist all through, like, high school and especially early college. But probably the part that resonates the most with me is the inner critic that the 1 has.
Mm.
And just, like, constantly wanting to, like, do the right thing or make a good choice, like, the qualifiers of, like, good or right
mm.
are, like, very present in my thoughts on, like, from everything from a tiny decision to a huge decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I notice the inner critic in my head all day long. And then I remember reading the description and thinking, like, do other people not have that? Like, it was a crazy moment.
Internet.
Like,
mm-hmm.
like, I'm sure, you know, everybody has negative self-talk to some extent
mm-hmm.
at different points, but it was the first time I realized, like, oh, like, maybe this is, like, maybe more specific
mm-hmm.
to the way that I think or my personality. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so I might go grab the Road Back to You book.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
you
should do that.
The intros
that's
for
a good
number,
maybe.
What is is
okay. Oh, yes. I totally agree. I love this book.
I still haven't read this book. I really want to.
Really?
I've never read it.
Oh, I read the other one.
Yeah. The is it Relationship?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that the green cover?
Yeah. Yeah.
Lended to me. Okay.
Okay.
So we pulled out the Road Back to You book. Yes. To read the description of each number. If you want to.
No, I do. Okay. Yeah, all right. This is
who Sheila is.
Yeah, this is what it's like to be a one. Okay. And there's 20 little descriptions.
Oh my gosh, fun.
So, people have told me I can be overly critical and judgmental. I beat myself up when I make mistakes. I don't feel comfortable when I try to relax. There's too much to be done. That is so me. I don't like it when people ignore or break the rules, like when the person in the fast lane at the grocery store has more items than allowed. I feel a little bit less. I'm less like a stickler about rules, but
yeah,
anyways.
Yeah.
Details are important to me. I often find that I'm comparing myself to others. If I say I'll do it, I'll do it. It's hard for me to let go of resentment. Ooh. Interesting.
Hey, don't worry, we're all gonna have a moment.
What you, yeah. Like, you connect to more versus
right.
Exactly.
Right.
Some people, like, everyone's different. Everyone is different.
Yeah. Okay, Jamie.
So you can speak up if you're like,
everyone
like
and everyone.
Everyone.
Right.
And everyone.
Double entendre.
Yes.
Yeah, and I love a double entendre.
Okay, I think it's my responsibility to leave the world better than I found it. I have a lot of self-discipline. I try to be careful and thoughtful about how I spend money. That one I've not noticed that.
Huh?
That's not true at all. Okay. Well, it's gotten
Amazon
more true.
Prime.
I'm on my budget era. Yeah. Okay. It seems to me that things are either right or wrong. I spend a lot of time thinking about how I could be a better person. That was in my journal a lot as a child. Like, my goal for this summer is to be nicer and to be a better person and to whatever.
That was literally going
to
be one of my questions
later.
That's so cute.
Forgiveness is hard for me. I notice immediately when things are wrong or out of place. I worry a lot. I'm disappointed when other people don't do their part. I like routine and don't readily embrace change. That's not how I live my life, though. I do my best when working on a project, and I wish others would do the same so I wouldn't have to redo their work. Oh, no.
Mm.
And I often feel like I try harder than others to do things correctly.
Do you feel like any of those, like, yeah, mostly, like, resonated with you, or were there, like, standouts? Like, this was...
Well, I feel like the area of the one that I least resonate with is being, like, a super uptight, like, rule follower,
mm-hmm.
or, like, routines or whatever. Like, I think I have... the principles of the one of like wanting to do the right thing and like do good
mm-hmm.
in more of like the bigger picture
mm-hmm.
but I have not had a routine for like the last 6 years of my life, so you know what
that's
I mean,
extenuating circumstances
like, just, and that's,
like college,
that's it too, like maybe
college.
When I'm older that will happen
mm-hmm.
yeah but
yeah
maybe you're a healthy one maybe that's
yeah,
healthy.
Or maybe
say
that.
Yeah.
Well
I also feel like with like pressure and like
yes.
being hard on yourself. I feel like you're hardest on yourself. You're not as hard about like people around you if they're
yeah.
not doing
yeah
if they're not doing
that's
what
so
you think
true.
Is quote unquote the right thing. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that necessarily permeates
yeah.
in like other relationships.
I
or
feel
areas
like
of your life as much as it does
yeah.
with yourself.
I feel like I notice in myself like the word grace is something that I. It's my middle name, but I have such a hard time extending grace to myself, but I feel very quick to be like, oh, it's totally fine, like,
yeah.
no worries at all, whatever,
like, I would not say that you're, like, an uptight person,
no.
I would not say that you're,
would,
like, rigid, or,
yeah.
like, with other people in other
yeah,
relationships,
yeah, yeah.
maybe with yourself and, like,
in my own head, yes, but, like,
I would never say that,
yeah, I feel like I'm
mm-hmm.
definitely not.
Important
mm-hmm.
distinction.
Mallory, what
Do
about
you?
Share?
And I'll find your chapter.
I will share. Okay, so I first took the Enneagram in high school, and I honestly do not even remember how I heard about it. Maybe through my sister. But I took the Enneagram, and I immediately got a 2, which is the helper, but I very much resonated with it and felt like I was reading, like, a diary of my life. So I did go through a bit, I mean, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I did go through a bit of a period of, like, a crisis of, like, is this really me? Because I do, again, feel like it's just so heavily in the Christian woman
mm-hmm.
sort of culture. But when I, like, look at my life or the way that I, like, process or handle things or my outlook on life, I definitely feel like I resonate with the two. And yeah, I am trying to think of qualities that I most resonate with, but...
Or, like, how would you explain being
explain
a two?
It. I would say that, well, the core fear is being unloved or unwanted. And so I would say that, yeah, the most important, like, things to me are just, like, giving love and feeling loved by others. But yeah, there's a big part of the identity, I feel like, that comes from, like, helping others or, like, decentering yourself in one way or another. And I would say I definitely relate to the aspects of that, like, relationally, but I not necessarily, like, stereotypical, like, helping people way. Like, I do enjoy, like, serving, but I wouldn't say that that's, like, something that is, like, a strong suit or people would look at me and be like, oh, yeah, that's definitely, like, her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think I started to notice it, which, I mean, again, I'm kind of, like, veering off from how you explained your Enneagram type, but, like, I really value, like, relationships, and I would say that is, like, the aspect of the Enneagram 2 that I most resonate with is just how important relationships are to Enneagram 2s and just kind of being, like, a we person, and, like, making other people feel important and... Yeah, I mean, I already said it, but just, like, decentering yourself or just being curious about other people, I think, has always been, like, really important to me. And so that's the good aspects of the Enneagram 2, but at the same time, I would say, like, the weaknesses are that you can become pretty, like, prideful or pretty, like, I know the best way of, like, how to function in a relationship or give love to others. And thus develop a pride complex when, like, that's not always true and people have different ways of, like, showing and receiving love. So I think that was, like, a learning curve for me for a bit. But yeah, I would say those are, like, some of the main aspects. Does that make sense?
And
if I can jump in.
But yeah. like you can also push down what you want or what you need because you're like, no, like, I want to do what you want, and, like, that is what would genuinely make me happiest.
Yeah.
Right.
Which, like, could be true most of the time, but then there are times where it's, like, you're pushing or, like, stifling what you need or what you want because you want to.
Too much. Yeah.
And thank you for that addition. I don't know. Because that is a big, I would say that is a big part of it, which I definitely feel like I've grown at, especially, like, post-grad. I think I've grown so much in, like, my Enneagram type, and just, like, I feel like part of that is probably, too, like, 24, like, developing your prefrontal cortex, so many things,
being
out of college, but I feel like in college I learned so much about myself and my personality for better or for worse, and I think post-grad I've been able to, like, learn how to communicate my needs when I actually have needs, because I do feel like, sort of what we were talking about earlier, doesn't have to be on the pod. I'm so sorry.
No,
but just sort of what we were talking about.
What the Enneagram was, but people know, right?
Yeah, surely people know.
There's 9 different types. Take the test.
Yeah, figure it out.
Take it and
yourself.
Then come back to this part of the episode.
Yeah,
just pause it.
Yep.
Okay.
Pause this episode right now.
Right now.
And take it and then come back.
We'll give you 2 minutes.
Yep.
If we're not one of your types,
here's the ad break and then come back.
Come back. But
welcome back to the pod.
Exactly. So we're back. Hey.
Have a drink. Hope you enjoyed a nice break.
Yes.
Bathroom break.
Welcome to the
filling up
pod.
A gas at the
now
gas
you
station.
Know. Your number.
You know?
Absolutely.
Okay. Sorry.
You're so good. Just basically what I was saying about when I read about the Enneagram descriptions, I kind of thought I might get a 9. But that was before I literally knew anything about the Enneagram. But I would say, like, growing up, like, the role I played in my family... or the situations I found myself in, I really could resonate with, like, the peacemaker aspect of the Enneagram, which I can look back on now and be like, oh, I see the ways I was a 2. But, and so when I got to college, I was like, I'm definitely not a peacemaker. I can feel that. Going into social work, I learned I was not a peacemaker. But I forget, just basically that I think nine times out of 10, I really would be happy to do what other people want to do, or I don't always feel like I need to talk about myself. I love talking about myself, as everyone does. But, yeah, I definitely feel like, too, it was such, like, a learning curve to learn how to, like, communicate those needs when I have them, but, like, it makes your relationship so much better, because, like, if you don't allow other people to show up for you, like, you show up for them, then it's not going to create a healthy, balanced relationship. So.
She's so wise.
She is.
Wow. You need to do some editing work on that, because
I probably won't.
Was, hey, that's fine.
To be frank,
to be honest with everyone,
I feel like you were so eloquent with your description and, like, so concise. And
well, she's a preacher, okay?
I'm sorry, I'm a preacher
on the podcast.
I literally felt when she was reading out, I said,
like,
next time it'll be a sermon.
Yes, and I'm like, oh, if I didn't know these girls and I was just listening to this podcast, oh my gosh. I'd be like,
How are you?
That's why I'm friends with you. Yeah, like, obviously. You know what I mean? It's like, that's why we get along.
Okay, yeah.
But I would be loving. I'd be like, okay. so wise.
Thanks for saying that.
So.
Well, thank you, Jamie.
It's very kind of you. Okay, what it's like to be a two. When it comes to taking care of others, I don't know how or when to say no. I've gotten better with that over time, but I don't actually feel like there's a lot of times I would want to say no. I am a great listener, and I remember the stories that make up
that
people's
is
lives.
So true.
I will
say that. I will say that.
You also remember things, though, about me that I don't remember, so.
No, you don't, Jamie.
Less.
Sometimes.
Jenna shares the truth.
It's significant, these memories that we have.
Observation
skills. That's okay, hey.
I don't know if it was ever there.
I will say, though, like, I definitely resonate with that a lot more than even, like, the first one. I am anxious to overcome misunderstandings in a relationship. Yes. I feel drawn to influential or powerful people. Yes. People think I'm psychic because I usually know what other people need or want.
Superpower.
To be determined. Sometimes. But you have to stay humble. You don't always know what people
You can say yes. You can say yes.
Even people I don't know well share deep stuff about their lives with me. Mm. Yes. It seems like people who love me should already know what I need. Whoa!
Okay, well. She kind of ate with it.
She kind of got to listen. You should read.
Yeah, I think I read the 7 part.
Okay, big.
Only yours.
No. Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's me.
Yeah, me too, honestly.
Me and my friends.
Yeah. I need to be acknowledged and appreciated for my contributions. I'm more comfortable giving than receiving. I like my home to feel like a safe and welcoming place for family and others. I care a great deal about what people think of me. I want other people to think I love everyone, even though I don't. Whoa, called out. I like it when the people who love me do something unexpected for me. Lots of people ask me for help, and it makes me feel valuable. When people ask me what I need, I have no idea how to answer. Girl, work on it. When I'm tired, I often feel like people take me for granted. People say my emotions can feel over the top. I feel angry and conflicted when my needs conflict with others. Sometimes it is hard for me to watch movies because I find it almost unbearable to see people suffer. I worry a lot about being forgiven when I make mistakes. I would say I resonate with, like, 17 or 18 out of the 20. Okay. Like, I would say that I
thought you were gonna say percent.
Yeah. Oh, oh my gosh. Whoa. That'd be crazy. No.
Well, like, we
maybe let's revisit the times.
No.
The test alive.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right now.
Yeah.
No. I would say I resonate with pretty much all of that. I would say with, like, the acknowledgement and being appreciated, like, yes, it's nice, but I don't think it's always, like, super necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah. Like, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like.
Ooh, do you know your wing type?
This is something
I feel like this might
play
into.
Mm-hmm. I would be curious.
One wing, two.
I think
that would make sense too. I would. I could see that for you. But I guess you could be either wing because that. I guess that does. Yeah.
It's tough. But I feel like a lot of these resonate with me too.
Okay. Yeah. And I. This is so interesting because I have some other ones in my life, and I very much like resonate with a lot of things that they say. But I also feel like I resonate a lot with like threes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I genuinely don't know. Every time I've taken a test, it, like, genuinely has not given me a wing. But
you could be...
You're just pretty... You're just
you could be...
I do feel like I can... Yeah, in some senses, like, I definitely don't feel like I'm a perfectionist by, like, definition textbook. Like, I don't need to do things perfectly, but the, like, morality good person piece, I feel like does tie into the two.
Yeah, that's
But so then true. I also feel like... I like to work a room. I like to be outgoing.
You be, like,
sometimes.
You want to be like.
Yeah.
You want people to like.
And not even necessarily in a, like an extroverted way, but I think I do enjoy. Yeah, I enjoy people liking me, which is like really.
Well, everyone does.
I know, but I have a really hard time if I feel like people don't like me, and so I feel like I can relate to that. But I'm also not. I feel like I'm not super driven, so I feel like either. Side of that coin doesn't like fully resonate with me, but I would be interested to like I should I mean driven in the sense of like career driven I don't know, academically driven, like I don't think I beat myself up too much,
you know what I mean?
Well, also that's awesome.
I beat myself up about other things,
being more
but...
like future oriented versus past oriented.
Yes which we should get into later.
That would be a
I'm
gonna
question. Pass the baton. Well, actually, I'll find this.
Do you want
to
scroll?
Yes.
And pass the baton to Jane.
Okay.
Who are you?
Who am
I? When did you
learn
about learn about the Enneagram?
Yes. So I want to say that I also I think I was in high school. The thing is, I remember like exactly where I was. I was like up north at my grandparents' house, like in the bedroom, like. But I couldn't tell you like. I think I was, like, probably in high school, but it's, like, that part of the context isn't there for some reason. But, yeah, I don't know, like, what I just heard about it. I don't really know how. Took the test, got a 7, like, by and large, far away. It was, like, blown away.
That's who you are.
7, yeah. And then immediately was, like, going on Pinterest and, like, reading little things about it and was, like, gosh, like, it was just like the coolest thing
I
like,
am discovered
so, yes, like it felt so good and I was so affirmed and like it was just like awesome to feel like known by these things online. I don't know, like, as someone who's like not observant of their own self, like of who they are.
That's so awesome.
Having someone
it was
tell
like
you
literally awesome to be like, oh my gosh, like that is
well
fun.
Then it's gonna
like,
make you more reflective.
Yes,
so
and
this
it
is
really
exciting.
Did it really did. Yeah. So it was the start of like a really great journey.
She's still on it.
And so it was like a really great journey for me, and yeah, ever since I've really loved the Enneagram. And I know that not everyone has that experience of like feeling like floored of like this is exactly me, and that's why I think it's important to be like, okay, it's not fully a box.
It's not perfect either.
You can be leaning one way or another. You can have like another a number that's like strong in you, but for me it was like very much 7, and I was loving and feeling very understood. And then ever since I've just been living and loving being a 7 and diving into it. And so 7s, Mallory reminded me, are the enthusiasts. Which is awesome. I think
I would
I
say
know
you're
if
an
that
enthusiast.
Means, like, an enthusiast for life.
I think
yeah.
that's what it is.
That's for
it
life.
Literally
yeah,
is.
I think yeah. that's what it is. Sometimes the things about 7s are like actually insane to me. I'm like, I can't believe this is like my personality type. Because it's like
no,
fake,
it's awesome.
But,
no,
it's awesome.
Perfect.
So very optimistic, very like spontaneous. We like freedom is very important to us. Me. Like, being free from, like, commitments or, like, being tied down is, like, one of our biggest fears of, like, just always wanting to, like, seek the best thing and the most fun thing that you want to do in life.
That's
and not
so awesome.
And, like, being bored is, like, the worst. FOMO is, like, huge for 7s. They don't want to be missing out on the fun. We're finding the silver lining in things.
Yep.
Giving people the benefit of the doubt. Like, very positive, very optimistic in that way, and just constantly seeking, like, stimulation.
Gratification.
Instant gratification. A fact about 7s, and I could be wrong, because maybe I just, like, saw this on Pinterest, is I think, like, one of the most, like, prone to, like, addiction.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
because,
like shopping addiction. That's
true.
Addiction.
Because we just want, like, instant gratification,
yep.
and, like, we're just seeking pleasure, like, in every moment, in every aspect.
But what I will
things
add
and stuff.
To
things and stuff.
This, if I may,
yes,
is that we all are getting down on ourselves for one reason or another, but
yes,
every Enneagram
exactly.
has its strengths and its weaknesses.
Yes.
So it's good to just, like, be aware of the weaknesses.
Trust.
Yeah.
because there's weaknesses. Oh yeah, sevens want to avoid like negativity and like negative emotions, and they just want to like brush over like any negative things that happen and just like ignore it and push it down. So like probably not good. So we do have weaknesses. We have to face them. So.
I love that so much.
Yeah, there's probably more. As
oh,
there's more
one, I mean, we'll unfold more.
I can read.
Yeah. Your passage.
I can read my passages.
Like your pages.
Your text. Like your 20.
You're literally like, so literally. Planet Pit right now. It's so awesome.
Planet Pit. Yeah, I'm wearing my Pitbull shirt.
And I feel like nothing screams seven more than
Pitbull
shirt.
Someday we'll sell this podcast and then everyone can see Party
Us
at
our tour. I'll get video for you guys soon on YouTube.
I know that Pitbull would love to join in this Enneagram conversation right now. Like, what it's like to be a seven. I'm always the first person up for a last minute adventure. Oh yeah, speaking of that, like another thing about sevens is like, they don't want to be like organized, and like when I've read about like sevens in the workplace, if you start like organizing, if they start like organizing their lives, it's like check in.
Like
on
pray
them.
For
like,
them.
They're not okay.
Well, because sevens go to
one
in
yes.
stress.
Yes, and so
but
if you start
ones
getting, like,
go to a seven in health.
Yes,
yes.
Which we have
this
to talk about
why we
the
really work. Yeah.
Which I just want to say, whenever people guess what type I am, if they say seven, I feel like it's a huge
that's
compliment. Because
uh-huh.
I'm like, thank you so much.
And then, like,
I'm fun. You know?
Right, so
but
we can dive in.
And I go to
I
go to
I think
four.
I go to a...
You go to one.
You go to a one
in
health,
health
and a two in... Yep,
yes,
one in health.
Two in stress.
Two in stress.
Yes, because I go to four in stress.
Which I very much could see you going to a one in health, because I we'll get into it.
Yeah, yeah, I've been healthy in a long time, I'll say that.
No! What do you even say? Yes. Hey!
That
hey.
Is not true, Jenna!
There's probably aspects of oneness that shines
I'm sure.
you in a healthy way.
Oh, I'm so sure.
Hey,
okay.
I'm going to speak life into everyone's
okay,
health
I,
later.
I took the spotlight on Jamie.
Your Jamie.
I am an optimist to a fault, yes. I don't like making hard and fast commitments to things.
Yes.
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 We should keep track of how many of these you already said.
Yeah. Like, please understand. Yeah. I suffer from FOMO. Fear
of
missing out. Thank you.
Literally, yes.
Anticipation is the best part of life. Yes.
Do you know how, like... Yeah.
Jamie and I are dreamers.
Yes.
You guys are. I love that about you.
As much as we want, like, instant gratification, at the same time, the anticipation of something is almost better.
It's better.
And you know
I've
how
we'll,
like, buy a new outfit and then be like, oh, we're going to wear it. Like, but then you'll, like, wear it right away, like, the next day. Mm-hmm. I, like, want to save it. I want to save it to, like, build up the anticipation of it and, like,
aww.
Not...
Aww.
I don't know.
That's so cute.
I don't know. But I also want it to go to, so I don't know. There's
it's
different
both.
Situations.
Well, and I also feel like buying the outfit is better than wearing it.
Right.
Or having the thought about buying it.
Having
okay,
the thought about what it could be. Miss Gilliland, how good do you think I think it is?
Okay, now we're getting into some scary parts. People close to me say I can be argumentative and act superior.
Well, when you were a kid, weren't you a little...
I was.
A little challenger, a little...
I was.
Oh.
I, yeah.
Argumentative.
My teachers hated me.
Girl.
I put them through the
do you have
law school? Do you know what
you're
weighing at?
I was going to say...
Well, I feel sometimes balanced between a 6 and an 8, but maybe in some phases of my life I was more 8,
okay,
and then
okay.
some I was more 6.
Yeah.
I can see both for you.
But,
that's
like,
true.
Yeah, as a kid, like, my, like, 7th grade teacher told my parents, like, if any student's gonna do me in, it's gonna be your daughter. Like, genuinely, like, I was, like, submitting protest letters to teachers every day.
Yeah, you were.
Oh my gosh.
I was, like, arguing with them. I was, like, getting sent out in the hall for being, like...
She's a lawyer in the making.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
I was just, like, so, like, I wanted justice.
Yes,
for, like,
you did.
Like, I was, like, representing the volleyball team that I wasn't even on.
You wanted justice,
oh
but you
gosh.
Also wanted fighting
yes,
for their rights.
Good.
Like, yeah.
You also wanted no rules, though. Like, you didn't, like, none.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah, I hate rules. Well, that would be the thing. The teachers would put, like, rules on us.
You're like,
and
that's
then I would,
dumb.
Like, argue
freedom
the
for
rules,
the
rules.
Yeah,
and I would be
fair.
Like, that's arbitrary. You just made that. It would be, like, in math class. And they'd be, like, teaching me things. And I'd be, like, well, no. Like, I reject that. Like, on Google. Like, I think that I was, like.
I reject.
The worst. So.
Hey.
Yeah.
Gross.
I can
it's
be argumentative about exterior. Okay. Variety and spontaneity are the spice of life. Sometimes I get so eager for the future, I can hardly wait for it to get here. Yeah. It's hard for me to finish things. When I get close to the end of a project, I start thinking about the next thing, and then I get so excited, I sometimes just move on. I usually avoid heavy conversations and confrontations. When people I care about are having a hard time, I help them look at the bright side of the situation. Other people think I am sure of myself, but I have lots of doubts. Maybe true. I'm popular and have lots of friends.
Yes, you so, are.
Yeah.
Our star. Our celebrity.
I don't know. In some times of my life and other times not. lighten up, often by telling jokes and funny stories. Yes. I don't like endings, so I usually wait for people to break up with me. I'm really good at that.
Yikes.
Yeah, maybe.
TBD.
I quickly get bored with the same routine and like to try new things. Yes. Almost everything can be more fun and entertaining with a little effort. Yes. I think people worry more than they should. Yes. Life is better than people imagine. It's all about how you explain things to yourself.
That's beautiful. Oh. Wow.
And it's not like the queens of like delude. Like,
that's some CBT right there.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, reframe.
Reframe
distortions. You said I'm reframing that.
We can all have a lot more fun if we just try.
If we
try. Mm-hmm. Have you tried? Okay. And then I don't like it when people have expectations of me. Hmm. Okay. Maybe.
I feel like you've said in the workplace you don't love that.
Yeah, because it feels like commitment, and I don't like setting goals that much because it feels like I'm committing myself to something, and I feel like I'm tying myself to that, and then, like, if I don't meet it, that would be, like, sad. So,
right.
Like, why would I do
like, I don't feel like it's talking about expectations, like,
yeah,
things in your, like, day-to-day life that you would, like, people
right.
would be expecting of you.
Yeah. And I don't want to be, like, put in a box, maybe, so it's, like, I just want to, like, do what I want to do, and then if you, like, think
right.
you want me to do this one thing, it's, like, suddenly I don't want to do it just because, like, you said you wanted me to, maybe.
That's sad.
That's me.
Do you have any ones that you, like, really...
Are resonating
resonated
with?
Yes.
Ones that feel like this is me.
I think people worry more than they should. Yeah. I just, like, don't get easily stressed out, I think. And so I'm just like, guys, it's going to be fine. But I think that's part of the, like, I usually genuinely think, like, everything's going to, like, work out.
Yeah.
And I, like, my brain, like, doesn't even let me think that, like, bad things will happen or, like, that, like, something wouldn't work out. And, like...
I want to live in your brain. I live in all of your brains for, like, a day.
Yeah.
That's what... To see what
you don't want longer than that, though.
Yeah.
Sort of...
Okay, and then FOMO is huge for me.
Yeah.
But I think I've gotten better at that because I feel like that was, like, worse growing up.
Yeah.
And now
you
have
that,
like, more
I
of
think,
a piece
yeah.
about it. And, yeah, reframing, getting people to look on the bright side. I resonate with a lot of these. Jenny, is it your time?
Maybe.
Our star.
I'm
going
to find number four for you.
Okay, I think I also took it in high school, like, later in high school.
That's
like my friends and I weren't talking about it.
We're on the same time frame. For sure, everyone.
But I don't know if, like, a friend mentioned it or, like, my sister.
Mm-hmm.
But I took it on my phone. And I also felt very convicted when I read it. I felt like someone read the inside of my brain and my heart. But I got a 2 when I took it. And then my whole life...
So that's 2.
From that point on.
Yeah.
So that's
T. Felt that I was a 2. I feel like, similar to what you guys had said, I just thought that I liked helping people. I think I'm... also, like, relationally focused.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy, like, connecting with people, having conversations with people.
Yeah.
But then, was this, like, post-grad when we were talking in the...
It was either post-grad or senior year.
Yeah.
We were definitely...
Like, end of college.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've or... still been in college, though.
Yeah, probably end of college. I feel like... I don't know if you asked me or if we were just, like... You go ahead.
I was just going to say, maybe I brought something up and you were like, oh, I can't relate to that, or I, vice versa.
I think we started to notice some differences between
because Mallory
two.
And I,
you thought you
when
were
we met, we both were,
we
like,
were
oh, like, we're so similar, we're both
yeah.
Jews.
Which is just
like,
so interesting
I think we
because
connected.
We ended up being friends, but we'll get into all of that later, but it's just very serendipitous because, like, most of the people that I was close to in high school and, like, my sister are all 4s.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just very, like, weird that it ended up working out that way because I still very much resonate with, like, your personality. But we don't have the same personality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like the question or, like, topic that you brought up was whether or not helping people, like, fills me or
fills
drains
you.
Me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, oh, that is, like, so draining for me.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think that that feels different with, like, work
Absolutely.
Now.
Yeah.
Like, that's a whole other layer of, like, how that has impacted, like,
yep.
my Enneagram and, like, how healthy I feel like I am.
Yep.
But I think, like, you when you and I talked about that, I was like, oh, like, that is, like, very draining to me. I don't like it when people, like, need things from me.
Yep.
Which sounds really bad, because I love being a good friend, but I think that, like,
Absolutely.
I feel like I am a lot more, you're not gonna like this, but, like, I'm a lot more selfish than you are, and I know what I want or what I need, and, like, I will probably...
Which is a superpower.
Put that
it's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
In front of other people's needs, which I didn't think that I would do, like, all of high school, college. I was like, no, like, I love other people, I love helping them. Mm-hmm. But I think it was more, like, I'm drawn towards people being emotional, and I love, like, holding space for that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I...
That got twisted into, like, a two-ness of,
I think twos and fours both, like, really gravitate towards that, and that could be with, like, the heart.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, which we can get into also, because it's very interesting.
So all that to say, I feel like after that conversation and a lot of other conversations and, like, reflecting, I feel like I definitely resonate with being a four. And maybe I should look back at it just to make sure. But I feel like...
I think it makes a lot of sense.
It feels more at peace. And I think maybe you were just because of, like, college stress. I mean, that's, like, the era I knew you in high school. But, like, you were just maybe living more leaning towards an unhealthy two.
It makes complete sense. I feel like I was...
And you got a two in
second
stress.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah,
like,
and that's why
that was
like,
slowly shining through. Because college is a stressful time, and you weren't able to, like, shine for who you really are.
And, like, you're figuring out who you are, too.
Exactly.
Yes.
Like, I don't know.
So I think it really... It was a great reflection for you to have to be, like...
But, like, kind of crazy, because I feel
really
like...
It's really crazy.
Not that, like, I had a huge part of myself rooted in this Enneagram test, but it was, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that, like, this is what I enjoy doing, what I'm motivated to do, who
I
am.
This is great for the listeners to realize, like, you don't have to freeze yourself in time with it.
Right.
Yeah.
But I also feel like some people think that your Enneagram changes, like...
Could switch. But
like,
deep down inside, you were just always a four.
Because now we can talk later, but, like, if I look back on, like, being a kid, I'm like...
It makes
It wasn't that you switched.
Right.
Totally. Like,
which,
totally,
that was, like, another thing when you started, like, I feel like having those realizations that I was like, oh, that sounds...
Yeah.
So
we'll talk about that later.
Yeah,
but
no,
basically,
it's
the
four
is the individualist or, like, the romanticist or something.
Yeah. Yep.
So, I think, like, the deepest desire... This is, like, it just sounds so bad when you explain it, but is to be unique and to be your own person. Mm-hmm. I think that they're usually, like, pretty creative... pretty emotional, I think drawn towards, like, intensity in emotions, or, like, whether that be through, like, media, like, movies or books or music, or, like, conversations with people, or the work that they do, like, I think that they really enjoy sitting in those feelings, which can be, a very powerful or, like, beneficial thing, but that can also be kind of destructive if you, like, sit with that for too long.
Yeah.
And, like, I think I noticed in myself that, like, I do not want someone to tell me, like, to feel better or to, like, feel differently. Mm-hmm. Like, nope, I'm gonna sit in it for however long I need to. And it kind of sounds just like pouting. And maybe it is for a little bit, but I think...
That's what you need.
Yeah, just, like, pretty intense emotions. This says desiring to be seen as special or different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I'm missing. But I feel like...
Yeah.
Yeah, probably the biggest thing that I think... resonates with me is just being very emotional, drawn towards emotion, wanting to be my own person. And I think I noticed that, like, I want other people to know me, but, like, at my core, I don't think that anyone will know me as well as I know myself. Like, I feel like the most myself when I'm alone, because I just, like,
you know
yourself. Who I am.
Yep.
And I don't want, like, anyone will ever fully understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of, I guess, just a bit, maybe. What it's like to be a four. I like things that are unconventional, dramatic, and refined. I'm definitely not a fan of the ordinary. Okay.
No, just like I feel like we're all, like, cringing at our own numbers of, like, oh, that's so embarrassing.
Right,
it is.
It's just,
like,
reading it just feels,
no,
like, a little pick me, but I'm like,
fine.
They're all kind of,
they
yeah,
are.
It's fine.
Fours are, they are, but it's fine.
I know.
That's not true.
Like,
no,
sorry, we're the black sheep. I'm sorry I never fit in with my family.
But I feel like you're, like, a, like, not an insufferable four.
That's good. Okay.
Insufferables of every number.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
I never really felt like I belonged. I have so many feelings in a day, it's hard to know which ones to pay attention to first.
Very
male. Sometimes people think I'm aloof, but really I'm just unique. I don't know if I'm very aloof.
No.
I know other fours who are aloof, but
yeah,
I
do too.
You are.
No, I think you're pretty, like,
you're very grounded.
Like, pretty down to earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I feel like I, like, you can see my emotions on my face.
You wear your,
like,
heart on your sleeve, sort of a person. Yeah.
Yes.
You don't have to do
you're
a lot of guessing. You can tell if I'm
yeah.
Yeah.
I could not be mysterious.
No.
in social situations, I tend to hang back and wait for others to approach me.
I don't think
that's true.
Well,
you think so?
I wouldn't have thought so, but maybe I just have a lot more social anxiety now. Mm. But I really think I do.
Right.
Melancholy is comfortable for me, so it's annoying when people try to cheer me up. Mm. Love you, JB.
No, the way that when you talk about fours and sevens being like the opposite.
I hate when people cheer me up. Don't
let
me feel better.
I love to sit in my emotions, and I have so many in one day. And I'm like,
don't let me sit with any.
I have no emotions.
I hate negative emotions.
It's crazy.
I'm not like everyone else. I'm very sensitive to criticism. It takes me a while to get over it. Mm. I spend a lot of time trying to explain myself. Mm. Yes, and I never have the words to do so.
You do.
I'm not
you do great.
When people tell me what to do, I'm tempted to do the opposite. I feel like I only see that with, like, if people are forcing me to, like, watch a movie or listen to.
Because you don't, correct me if I'm wrong, you don't like people having expectations of you as well? Like, that was a set of
right,
because
that was sort
I think
of
so.
The thing like, with, like, the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two.
Do you feel like, but maybe what's the reasoning behind it maybe is different than a seven?
Yeah.
Like,
I think the, I feel like... panicked if people like are needing things from me and
right.
I'm not able to like do the things that I need to do for myself.
Yes.
Because
I'm
probably more
sense.
Like self-preservation.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and
which
we'll
means
have
you
to
get
talk
into
seven.
I'm so glad that we're all just like on the same level.
Yeah.
Good.
When people I said that one. Sometimes I just disappear and go radio silent for a few days. I don't think I do that.
Do you ever wish you could?
Maybe
yeah,
for
maybe.
Like 30 minutes,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Not like
the group chats are going off. Okay,
yeah.
We're texting.
You have to.
Yeah.
I'm okay with sad songs, sad stories, sad movies.
Mm.
Overly happy people give me a headache.
Okay,
that's
not
can true.
I just share
no.
a little fact about
yes.
you from when you thought that you were a two?
Yes.
Was that when I first met Jenny, she told me that her favorite thing to run to was Phoebe Bridgers, and. If that doesn't tell you that you're a four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She loves
that. I love that
songs.
icky feeling.
Yeah.
I feel there is something essential lacking in me. This is where the jealousy.
She's perfect.
No,
she's
where
perfect.
The envy
come on,
comes in.
Come on.
Which we all hate. It's really hard for me to settle into a relationship because I'm always looking for my ideal soulmate. Mm. I don't know if I feel that as much.
But also you found your soulmate.
You found your soulmate.
Well, I found my
soulmate.
I found my soulmate.
Yeah.
I called that before.
I
do think I felt like, are you ever going to love me as much as
I love
you?
Yeah.
Right.
So
me in the ways that I love you.
Maybe
so
away.
Maybe that a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't think that I feel like I'm a full romantic. I think I,
yeah.
I love love, but I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm not hopeless.
And you pretty
easily
well, like, give your heart and your love to people.
And
yeah.
Not to deter too far from the path, but I also feel like with fours, the romantic could also be like the dreamer side
mm-hmm.
of you, like that
mm-hmm.
type of romantic, like just you're a dreamer
mm-hmm.
and you love to think about the future and
mm-hmm.
so many things with that.
Oh, this is so interesting. I'm self-conscious. It's hard for me to find my place in a room full of people.
Mm.
I think I've been feeling that a lot lately. Just like,
yeah.
Like how are people perceiving me
mm-hmm.
has been on my mind a lot and not in a way of like, do you like me?
Yeah.
But like, what
are
image
you
am I putting off?
Putting off, right.
And not like,
but
no,
that, like,
no,
matters.
Like appearance.
How
but
are you?
Matters,
how are you like reading
yeah.
me,
yep.
perceiving me, understanding me?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I feel like I'm feeling like a disconnect of like who I am and like how people are seeing me, which is just interesting that this is in there.
Uh huh.
People say I'm too intense and my feelings overwhelm them. I'm either an artist or highly creative. I come up with one amazing idea after another. Executing them can be hard. Lots of people misunderstand me. It makes me feel frustrated. I pull people in, but then I get nervous and push them away, and I worry a lot about abandonment.
Hmm.
What ones would you say you resonate
okay.
with or don't resonate with?
I feel like definitely all the ones about having big feelings
hmm.
and, like, sitting in, being okay with sitting with sad feelings and hard feelings.
Yeah.
I definitely feel like being creative.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a through line from, like, since I was a kid. I feel like I really enjoy it.
I would argue you're good at executing it, though. I think that's interesting that they said
yeah.
that you're not. Because even just thinking about the way that you, like, plan, like, a party
mm-hmm.
or, like, a social gathering,
mm-hmm.
I think you're very into the execution of it and you're very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Some would say controlling. Some would say.
I wouldn't personally. I want to be controlled. Good. I don't know about you guys, but I like being controlled, so that's fine.
That was beautiful.
That's all of us. And
that's us.
And not a short nutshell, but a nutshell.
Yeah.
Shorts.
Yep.
What do you guys want to talk about next? Do you want to talk about wings or like what you noticed as a kid that maybe relates to your Enneagram?
Yeah, I kind of want to hear that because I feel like we, some of us sort of dove into, dove into that a little bit of how we were as kids. And one of my questions that I was thinking of earlier today was if, I mean, okay, we're like 2 years post-grad, sort of 1 year, but like, do you feel like then it's changed growing up too? Like, how have you grown since getting older, but then how have you seen it as a kid as well?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that made sense, but if anyone wants to share. Like, we already talked about how, as a kid, I was very much giving this type of... I've always been positive. I've always been the optimist. I feel like those are pretty consistent through lines for me. But, yeah, I was very much hating rules. I hate rules. Mm-hmm. I hated being, like, tied down or restricted to, like, a certain schedule. I hate a schedule. I think I need, like, variety and, like, something, like every day has to be, like, different. Otherwise, I'm feeling, like, raw about that. And always have avoided negative emotions. But, like, what's crazy to me about, like, the Enneagram, too, of, like, how true it is, of just, like, this is, like, your natural state. Like, you genuinely don't even have to try to, like, when I tell you, like, something negative happened and, like, my brain does the work for me, of, like, I can't even, it's gone.
That is such a superpower.
Like, I can't even probably ponder it if I tried or, like, wanted to. And it's, like, really, it's work for me to be, like, oh, I need to, like, actually, like, sit
and down and process
something
that.
Negative. Because, like, it just naturally, like, doesn't happen for me. And I think that's, like, always been the way I was.
Yeah. Which I find so fascinating because I push down emotions, but I'm, like, always constantly, like, anxious or thinking about it in the back of my head. Like, if I push it down or, like, don't communicate it, it's still always gonna, like, be there.
Right, yeah. And I love to see, so that's the next topic of conversation is maybe the ways we connect in. Like, we
there's
points of connection where we're, like, this is why we get along because, like, we think about this similarly. But the reasoning behind it is different.
It's different.
Yeah. Okay, but that's I'm gonna write some of these down because I
think I'll write that down for later.
That's a good idea.
So that was me as a kid. I feel like this feels consistent for me for my whole life. Mm-hmm. Always had FOMO as a kid and like always loved like a spontaneous adventure and just like down for anything. Mm. Ride or die. Like,
ride
just
or die.
Let's go. And then always being like protesting. I don't know what that is about me.
She's always protesting.
Just like fighting the people, fighting
absolutely.
The power, so
part of the people stick it to the man.
But I've also grown a lot, I think, post grad and like discovering my Enneagram and then learning about other people's Enneagrams. I feel like really helps you grow in your own.
Well, I feel like you've grown a lot in like sitting with sad feelings or hard things.
I realized that You have to do that, and, like, it's really good for you.
Well, and I feel like you've gotten a lot better at, like, doing that with other people, too. Like, I think you and I talked about that on your episode, but, like, knowing how to, like, comfort people.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you're bad at that before, but I think,
receive
like, more comfortable.
It probably made you
emotions.
Uncomfortable, at least, before, more than it does now.
Yeah, because I feel like maybe that's one of the things it was like, they hate negative emotions, but, like, I really think I'm pretty good at and, like, have gotten better at, like, if someone needs to come and share something, like, sad with
you're
me.
You're not
going to
be
like,
it's fine, it's okay.
I can, like, really sit with it and understand, like, no, I need to let you feel that, and, like, part of that is, like, meeting people who are different than you and, like, realizing, but then also just, like, getting better at, like, receiving it and holding space for negative emotions for others and yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten better at, like, being alone and, like, working on my FOMO, which is really huge, and maybe gotten better on the commitment thing a little bit of, like, understanding that, like, to have a schedule is a good thing and to, like, nail down plans is a good thing. Like, I think I have some realism, like, a healthy dose of realism when it comes to, like, spontaneity and things of, like, hey, like, just be chill and like being content like in the present because I feel like like seventh is like looking to the future and like they can't just like I think sevens go to a five in health because fives just like ponder the present moment and are like really content and satisfied and then the sevens are constantly seeking more but being able to like be more just like
slow down
satisfied
a little bit.
Like in your life so I think I'm working on that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's me, but I'd love to hear
that's so beautiful.
I want to hear about
little Sheila, little Mallory.
Right, because you kind of painted that, like, little, your own.
If you have little moments or memories of that, yeah, like, yes, relate to your,
yeah, Enneagram. Okay, as you were talking, then I'm like, I don't know if my 7 really came out in my childhood, like, much at all. Because I feel like I started uncovering that in college.
Okay.
But, yeah. But up to that point, I'm also the oldest daughter, which I feel has probably impacted me. But yeah, so I was always very, like, believe it or not, I was a very shy child. I really needed to, like, work on it. My parents made me work on it, like, saying hi to people and looking them in the eye and, like, saying their name. But I was just always, like, so embarrassed and so timid and, like, you know, just don't look at me, whatever.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I felt very, like, responsible, rigid, definitely the most of, like, a routine rule follower. That's the most I've ever been that way in my life.
Mm.
And then I think ever since I was freed from that, I was like, ah, this is way more fun.
When do you think this that, way better, like, changed for you? Like, how old were you?
I feel like overboard, honestly.
Oh my gosh, it's iconic.
That, like,
yes.
Just put me and the whole team through the ringer. And I came out on the other side just more chaotic and a little bit less.
That's
like,
fun, though.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's amazing.
And I had no idea what to expect going into it.
Well, and that's a job that's, like, pretty unlike.
Yeah, it's very, very unique.
Other jobs.
Very,
it's like,
unique.
You have to be stretched, like, completely out of your comfort zone to
in,
grow.
Like, so many different
and
ways.
And it ends up being, like, for the better.
Yes.
Even though
for
maybe
good.
In the moment.
For good.
For good.
Even though maybe
in
the moment,
it
was, like, really hard and really
yeah.
terrible. But then it's, like,
yeah.
the way you came out the other side of that, like,
right.
really right. out of your comfort zone.
That's so cool.
That's what we all need to do.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Yeah.
So I feel fortunate to have experienced that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the other thing I will say is when you were reading the description of the 4, that was me to a T, like, middle school, high school, like, my sad songs. Like, I loved sad songs. Like, I would tell all my friends, like, this is what, like, I'll listen to, you know, during study hall, doing my homework, like, going on runs, whatever. I used to stay up, like, super late at night and be like, I'm gonna light all these candles in my room and, like, make it really cozy and,
yes.
like, journal all my thoughts. And I thought, like, I'm having the most profound thoughts anyone has ever had in the whole world. Like, yeah, so, but then I think that got maybe diminished. I don't know. I just think it's
interesting
that I'm like, noticing a lot more of, like, I did not experience, like, a lot of what Jamie described, like, as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely resonated with more of the 4. But I see the through line definitely strongest with the 1. So I don't know if it was, like,
that's fascinating.
Stress or just growing up or, you
different
know, whatever.
Ages, different hormones.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah, I was, like, super strict rule follower, did not want to get in trouble, did not want to disappoint my parents, like, did not, like, all these things. I was, like, terrified of doing any of that.
Mm-hmm.
I once stayed out past my curfew on accident, and my parents were really mad, and I'd gone on a run before, and then I got froyo with a friend.
You have
so I was
to
all
get your
sweaty.
Froyo, come on.
But then, I don't know if my phone was off or it died, whatever, I was late, but then the whole night, like, I did not even, like, dare to take a shower. Like, I could not sleep all night, because I was just like, I messed up. Like,
oh,
I
they didn't even catch
my parents.
You just went to bed?
No, they did.
Oh, okay.
They did catch me, and they were, like, upset that I wasn't answering
right.
my phone.
Right,
but then
more like
I punished
thing.
Myself
yeah.
for, like, you did this. This is so terrible.
That's
I can't believe you didn't answer them, like, all this stuff. So I could not sleep all night, and then I remember waking up in the morning. I think I slept for, like, an hour, seeing my dad and being like, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't sleep at all. I was so stressed out.
Oh.
And I think they were like, okay, you punished yourself, like, way too
much. Right.
way too
it's right,
this
right,
was,
right.
like, not a big deal.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, in your mind, that was wrong.
Yeah. It was, like...
Yeah.
It was,
like, especially because that wasn't,
pressure.
Like, a typical part of your character.
Yeah.
Like, you did
yeah.
show up on time
yeah.
most of the time. Or, like, answer
yeah.
your phone.
Yeah.
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 yeah. So they know that about you.
Yeah.
Oh.
So,
I wish
anyway.
I knew little you guys, you know? Like, first
same.
Grade, second grade.
Oh.
Such, like,
on
a
the playground.
Time, I think, to be on the playground and, like, what do you get up to?
I was,
so, like, revealing.
I was deemed as troublemaker, talkative.
Yes.
Chatty Cathy,
yes.
shut up. Girl.
Wow, that's
the
opposite.
Out of the
what was little Mallory
saying?
Like?
Yes.
Well, so, in social settings, I would say I was very outgoing as a kid, but I would say ways that I saw my Enneagram show up were, like, I guess the more, like, classic way, like, in the home with, like, my parents. I just think if I did little things, like, help them with the groceries, or if, like, you know how there's just, like, one sibling every day that's, like, acting up, and when you can, like, I would just, like, try to be, like, I'm gonna be, like, the sibling that, like, does the most today, and, like, you know what I mean? Like, shows up and shows out to, like, make it easier for them, which is, like, so, like,
do things.
So, but, but, again, sort of gives me a crisis of, like, the peacemaker thing, because I think I just, very much, like, tension made me very uncomfortable in the home, which was, like, very much present, often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My family has since then grown, but I won't put them on blast. That's all I'll say about the family piece. I think I liked getting, like, affirmation from my parents, specifically, about, like, things I would do to, like, help them or, yeah, anything in that regard.
Yeah.
But I would say that I was homeschooled my whole life, and so I think it was very important to me to, like, not come across as homeschooled. And I, like, look back on it now, and I'm like, this is, like, so interesting. But I think I just, like, really made it a goal to, like, really, like, be in the know with, like, pop culture. And it's something I really enjoy about myself now. But I think, like, I really valued to, like, making a lot of friends, being able to, like, pick up on, like, social cues, sarcasm. Like, I was very, like, tuned in and dialed into social cues, and I feel like that caused me to, like, I'm not even saying I had that many friends. I was homeschooled. Where was I making friends at? But the places that I was going, I feel like I tended to, like, make a lot of friends or be very social. And then when I got to high school, I had, like, a couple of years where I felt like I was, like, really lonely and, like, didn't have good friends. In my senior year, I made, like, amazing friends, and my parents were like, where are you every night? Because my family did, like, family dinner every night, and I would just be, like, off with my friends, like, 5 days a week, like, sleeping over at their house, like, all the things. So I feel like in that regard, like, how you were saying you feel the most yourself when you're by yourself, which I think I've had, like, some growth around, I think I feel the most myself when I'm around people that I really love or really love me, which, like, is that a selfish ulterior motive? Maybe a little bit.
No,
Not
at all.
But yeah. And then just in general with, like, I feel like I've had a lot of, like, intergenerational relationships and I really value that. I don't know exactly, like, if that has to do with the Enneagram, but I almost feel, again, with the, like, being in tune with other people's emotions. I think I was just constantly trying to, like, listen to adults and, like, understand. Like, I would rather be sitting with adults 9 times out of 10 as a kid and, like, listening to their conversations and, like, understanding, like, what was important to people, what do people talk about, that kind of thing. So I feel like I've just always been, like, a very curious person. And the more, like, cynical side of me is that I really, especially in high school, like, very much enjoyed, you could call it manipulating, honestly. I feel like when I got to social work, I was like, okay, I can actually use this for good. But I just really enjoyed people being emotionally vulnerable with me and, like, figuring out how to do that. I do feel like I'm a trustworthy person and, like, kept that. Like, it was a huge honor for me. But I think
people, like, opened up to you.
Yeah, I think,
and shared, like,
yeah,
hard things with you.
Like, and I don't think I was necessarily doing it to be manipulative. I think I was doing it from a good place, but
yeah.
I definitely, definitely enjoy people being emotionally vulnerable with me, and I think it makes me feel, like, 1,000 times closer to them. So, I would say that was, like, a big aspect of, like, me realizing that I was a 2, if that makes sense. Just, like, wanting to be there for people. Like, I know, I mean, I just made myself sound really bad. I think deep down, I really do want to be there for people, and I think one way to do that is,
and you make them feel comfortable,
and
I'm like,
yeah. So I think, I think those are some of the ways that I saw it.
Because I also feel like you're very non-judgmental, like, whatever people want to share, or, like, however they're coming, like, you're going to want to receive them.
Yeah.
And, like, then people wouldn't share if they didn't feel comfortable to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that
makes
sense.
So that's me. Little me, what about you, baby Jenny?
Well, my family was very logical, very rational. 3 of them are 1s. And my brother is a 3.
Just the family dynamics and the other
is very important to right.
You're yeah. still friends with me anyway.
Well, come on.
No, but I feel like my parents were very like logical, mm-hmm. rational, like mm-hmm. not emotional. And then my older siblings are also logical and rational. Not very emotional. And then they, like, have told me that when they had me, they were like, we don't know what to do with you, because you're, like,
oh
not, like,
gosh.
Our other kids, and, like, how we figured out parenting and, like, raising kids.
Yeah.
So, I feel like I have a lot of moments when I remember just being, like, very emotional mm-hmm. and, like, not knowing what to do with that or, like,
yeah.
where to put all of that mm-hmm. as, like, a little person,
oh.
which is just, like, emotional thinking about, like,
yeah.
the work that I do now, too, like, can feel very full circle and like mm-hmm. cathartic sometimes. So yeah, just very emotional. I think I could be all over the place, a roller coaster all the time. Mm-hmm. I also think I was drawn towards like people's stories and experiences and like stories of pain from a younger age. Like even like the TV shows that I wanted to watch were like very intense,
mm-hmm.
like not necessarily like not crime shows, but,
yeah.
you know, like, things about, like, people's real lives and experiences.
Right.
Things that were maybe a little bit more, like, scary or intense.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, I did not enjoy reading until I read a book, like, that was more nonfiction or that was based on someone's life and their experience
mm-hmm.
and their hardship and them reflecting on themselves. Like, I didn't know that books could do that.
It
could
right.
be nonfiction besides just, like...
Yes.
This is the animal kingdom.
This is right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, and maybe just being, like, very... I feel like I've always had a desire to, like, have a creative outlet.
Mm.
Yes.
I was writing songs.
As we know.
Yes.
From
she
a young
was.
Age.
Yes,
I had a
hits,
blog
really.
Yes,
that I
did.
Made my friends do with me
yes.
to, like,
or
get things out.
Doing those creative
a YouTube
endeavors.
Channel.
We have
I mean,
a podcast.
Older. Podcast. I just
yes.
think I, like...
Yep.
I want to be creative.
I miss your
I'm...
vlogs. I should make more vlogs.
I'll get back on YouTube, maybe.
You're TikToking.
You
do
awesome work.
You can,
work.
Like, provide
come
YouTube.
On.
You don't need
it's,
long
it's all gone,
content.
Though.
You're our local influencer.
No, bring it back.
So I think that's probably the last one where I'm, like,
yeah.
it feels pretty
yeah.
consistent that I want to, like, create things and be seen as unique.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much of it is, like, I really didn't fit in with my family versus I didn't think that I fit in with my family.
Yes, your perception of
mm-hmm.
that.
Right.
Yeah. yeah.
Because
which,
it's, like, it's interesting to think about, like, you are a 4, and if, and obviously 4s already feel different from
yeah.
everyone else
mm-hmm.
and feel unique, but, like, on top of that, you were different and unique
mm-hmm.
from your family. Like,
yeah.
what if there were, like, personalities or numbers in your family
that were
more similar to you, would you still have felt like,
no.
I'm unique,
yeah.
though? So it was almost, mm-hmm. like, double.
Yeah.
Well, and I think just the,
you know,
emotional aspect of that, I'm sure, was heightened, like, the way
mm-hmm.
you already... felt like you have big emotions,
mm-hmm.
but when they're, like, not encouraged
already
or allowed,
mm-hmm.
it feels
right.
probably, like, 10,000 times bigger, because
mm-hmm.
it's, like, you're not allowed to, like, express
but
it in the way that you need to express it.
Before, would you have been the same amount of four?
Well, nature versus nurture.
If
I
your
know.
Parents or your siblings were, like, different Enneagrams, like, it's just so crazy.
I know, I feel like that's kind of
mm-hmm.
an interesting, just, like, quick question. Like, how do you guys feel in terms of, like, do you feel like your environment created your number, or, like, I mean, there's no way to really know, or do you feel like you just would have always been the way that you were? You know what I mean?
Like, did you say your parents were
yeah,
one?
Yeah, my parents
or your mom.
Both have one, like, in them. Like, my
mm-hmm.
dad's a wing one. And
is he a 9?
Yeah.
But you're also oldest daughter.
And I'm also oldest daughter, which I feel
mm-hmm.
like does not help me out at all.
Yeah.
yeah. Like, that could
but,
shape, like...
Yeah. Well, and just, like, the responsibility and,
mm-hmm.
like, the, like... anxiety that comes along with, like, taking care of people and, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like I'm probably the most... I feel like, as we're talking to, I'm just thinking about how I feel like a very emotional one. Like, I know ones
yeah,
that are very,
I
like,
agree.
You know, whatever.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just the two wing, I don't know. But, because I definitely felt very emotional growing up, too.
Yeah.
Like, feeling like, I don't necessarily know what to do with this,
mm-hmm.
but... Yeah, I don't know.
No, I feel like you are very emotional,
I
and
know.
I think, like, similar to Mallory, maybe, like, I think that you're drawn towards, like, relationships with people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing
you
people
seem like
very
a very
well.
Relational
yeah.
person. Yeah.
And
like,
also the, like,
mm-hmm.
like, having random people tell you their life story, like,
mm-hmm.
all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time. Mm-hmm. And yes.
So that like that wing chin.
Which I would argue that everybody in this room is a warm person, which is something like I really value.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like, do you know what I mean? I think the warmth that you bring to like makes people feel too like they can be vulnerable like, with you.
Yeah.
Versus like being standoffish or stoic or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what that says about my family though. But.
Yeah. Well, what like, upbringing just shares that my older sister is the one oldest daughter, and so I feel like
as is my older sister,
right? So it's like not to put that on the oldest daughter because like certainly that's not true with everybody, but it's like certainly that could definitely play a role.
Mm-hmm.
But in our case, like I think my mom's a seven, so it's like okay, the parents didn't really raise her in that way,
right? Yeah.
Like, but then it's like, am I a seven because my mom's a seven? Maybe, because when you were talking about, like, your curfew, I was like, I don't think I ever had a curfew. Like, my mom was not, like, up to, like, setting us rules, like,
I got my phone taken away for a whole day because I, no, literally the whole next day was gone because I was, like, 2 minutes late.
No.
Oh my gosh. Girl!
Something about my mom is we didn't really have, like, rules.
Something but about my younger siblings is they never had anything like that happen
to
them.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, about
fresh. Oh, it's the nature
with all love,
nurture.
But I'm come on, guys. But it was always the rules we set for you are the rules we set for your siblings.
And not true. Like, it's not even true.
No, it's actually not true. It's not true.
So it's tough to say like how much, but I definitely think that just like who your parents are and then who you are, like they interact in a way that.
Well, and I feel like if your mom's a seven, like, you kind of followed that. I maybe followed my parents. Mm-hmm. Jenna, you more, like, reacted to your parents.
Right.
Mallory.
I think you reacted to
the father
I certainly reacted to every single member of my family.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And same it's,
so, my mom is a six, and my dad's a three.
Okay.
Great. Love them.
Love them.
But, and they've gotten so much better, let me just say. They were pretty uncomfortable with emotional expression. But my
good
my sister is a four and my brother's a five but we're all very sensitive people, like very very sensitive. Well, I don't know if they would my brother and I are definitely both very sensitive. I think Morgan would classify herself as sensitive,
maybe in a different way,
but in a different way emotional regardless. Mm-hmm. So we all find it very fascinating that we ended up like I definitely feel like we all were reactive to our environment. Which, again, my parents have since then done some work and been, like, because it's also, it goes back to, like, how they were raised, emotional expression in their house or lack thereof. So, it's, like, I think it's all tied. But, yeah, I definitely feel like it's, I don't know, it's a blessing and a curse to be able to, like, which I'm sure you guys feel, just, like, read people's, like, emotions and... Sometimes it's a good thing, but sometimes I just wish I could, like, shut it off and be like, I'm not trying to psychoanalyze everything going on. Mm-hmm. And you know
trying
what I mean?
To, like, that's tiring, too.
Because you talk about, like, catering kind of your state and your being as you perceive everyone else is in the rooms. Mm-hmm. And, like, that must be exhausting.
Right.
To, like, constantly be trying to, like, go off of what do other people want or need from me in the time or, like, what's the vibe right now instead of just, like, being who you need to be at that time.
Yeah. Right. But, sorry, if I may add, just really quick, on the aspect of, like, growth and, like, ways that you've grown, one thing I find really interesting is when you were reading about, like, ones and the attributes of a one, and we were talking about wings, I was very much relating to, like, the self-critic, because I think the more I've, like, done things for myself, like, when I choose to do something for myself, or, like, even just, like, little things, like, it could just be the littlest thing, but just, like, choosing to do something for myself instead of, like, doing something for other people, it makes me feel like a bad person. Like, and so it's just like a lot of, and I mean, that sounds like so dramatic, but I think it's just a lot of mental work to start to like do things for myself or have an opinion on something. Like, I know that sounds like crazy, but so then I was like, maybe I am more wing one than I thought, but yeah, I don't feel that always the strongest, but
I think
trying
to
become a healthier person, I noticed that.
I think you were a lot harder, both of you are a lot harder on yourself, I think, than, like, any of your friends or relationships in your life. Like,
yeah.
I feel like you would very rarely say anything negative about I'm serious.
Yeah.
Like, even if someone else is in the wrong of, like, I don't know, like, they didn't, like, show up to a hangout that they said they were going to, mm-hmm. or, like, said something mean to you, like, you, mm-hmm. you would never tell them that to their face, or, like,
yeah,
be upset with them, but, like, you would internalize it and, like, think that, like, you did something wrong.
Right.
Or, as this book said, do you know what I mean? I would hold on to some resentment, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I've never noticed that before.
Say that.
Okay. I mean, maybe.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna never verbalize
you
it.
Do you feel like you would hold on to that resentment because you're like, that person did something wrong? But not, because I know you said you feel like you're more critical of yourself than other people. But maybe, like, in a situation like that, is it like, they wronged me, like, that was wrong.
Or do you find it, like, coming up, like, later down the mm-hmm. line sort of a thing?
Yeah, maybe coming up.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I'm feeling just a little bit befuddled because I feel I feel like I have a lot of grace for other people and not, mm-hmm. like, it just comes naturally. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have to, like, try to yeah. have mm-hmm. grace for other people. But then it's interesting that at the same time, I resonate with the things that say, like, forgiveness is hard for me or whatever. Mm. It's almost like if it's a super, like, deep wound or it's, like, you know that was wrong. That was, mm-hmm. like, really wrong
mm-hmm.
versus something casual. Where it's, like,
smaller.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
so that's a good nuance.
It's fine, you know?
Yeah.
It's fine.
Right.
I feel like you're flexible
mm-hmm.
in
well,
that.
I
think you're flexible in that way.
I hope so.
If someone's, like, running late, or if someone...
Oh, yeah, I don't care at all.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Needs to, like, make an adjustment to the plan.
So,
see,
that's
you
I don't care at all. That means you're, like, living into year 7, maybe, which is really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, maybe. But I'm
she's
like, oh, deep. Or,
if
like,
someone, like,
or
deeply...
if you need to, like, cancel something because
you're
tired, I'm like,
yeah,
that's good
and
that
you're
taking
like,
a rest.
You're not going to, like, internalize that or think
you
that.
You definitely do
you.
Not give off, like, rigid
yeah.
or...
No,
like, you give
I don't
off
feel that
a very kind understanding.
You're also, like, a very healthy woman.
Yeah.
Just, like...
She's so gracious.
Guys?
She is.
Yeah. But I feel like if somebody, like, went at me or went at someone that I love,
mm-hmm.
I'm
yeah.
like, okay, that's...
That's
maybe it's like,
line.
Oh, if I can't see, like, if there's not, like, a positive or, like, a good side of it.
Yeah.
You know
mm-hmm.
Because I feel like I can twist it to be like, oh, well,
yeah.
like, okay, maybe that's a bummer, but, like, there's a good reason...
Yeah.
But if there's no good reason, then I feel like...
Then that's
like,
wrong. That's just wrong.
Yeah, that's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I'm bad at
so
it.
Back to your foundational, like,
yeah.
right wrong.
See, and I feel like if it happened to someone I loved, I'd be like, you're done. Like,
yeah,
not
yeah.
even, like, you're done,
yeah.
but, like, I would be like, I have some feelings about
yeah.
that person or experience.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it... I don't know. This might get us down a rabbit hole that we might not want to go down. I'm going to ask the question, cut it out, if we don't want to do it. One question I had was, and I don't even know if this is going to make sense, but what are your top love languages, and do you find it consistent with your Enneagram type, or, like, completely unrelated? Like, do you find that your love languages intersect with, like, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to
can
answer
go first?
That. Sure. I didn't really give it much thought, but I just sort of was like, I love talking about love languages. I love talking about the Enneagram. But I would say my number one love language is quality time, but I'm realizing I'm more of a words of affirmation person than I thought I was. And so I want to say acts of service was second and words were third, but I think those could be kind of, like, flexible, second
yes.
and third. But I would say, like, quality time is, like, overwhelmingly my Enneagram, my love languages, but related to my Enneagram type.
My Enneagram
type.
Is quality time.
My Enneagram is quality time,
my
actually,
love language
so.
Is 7.
Yeah. So
you
didn't
figure that one out.
But I would say that I definitely feel like they're related, and that was sort of what caused me to think about it, that I feel
mm-hmm.
like words of affirmation
mm-hmm.
are important to me,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like I don't know, I think I just had a very, like, narrow view of what, like, words of affirmation
mm-hmm.
are. And I feel like you helped me to understand why words of affirmation are important, which, sorry to, like, steal your thunder, because this is, like, very much, shout out to Jenny. But, like, you can have a hangout with someone or spend time with people, but you need to, like, let them know, you know, how much they mean to you, that you enjoyed spending time
mm-hmm.
together. Not every time, I'm not
mm-hmm.
saying you have to, like, religiously, like, do that, but I think just, like, expressing that to, like, people is, like, really great, and, like, I... feel like as an Enneagram too. If like the most important thing that I feel like in my life is like feeling loved and wanted, why wouldn't I want other people to feel that too? You know what I mean? So I feel like that's definitely connected. And then quality time, I feel like, is a pretty obvious one. Like, I just feel like relationships are very important to me. Spending time with people is very important to me. And, like, it does not have to be anything fancy or even all the time. But I think it just feels very special. And I think the older I get and, like, the less time we have, it feels, like, to spend with other people because of going to work. And just, like, being busy and so many things, I feel like it just feels more special and, like, meaningful now for that to be my love language, even than it felt in, like, college and high school.
Yeah.
You know?
That makes sense.
Those are just some thoughts.
Those are great thoughts.
And, like, Sheila, you and I have talked about, like, you can never tell someone, like, too many nice things or, like, too many encouraging words. Like, it's only gonna help help them feel better, like, encourage them throughout their day.
Yep.
Yes.
Like, there's no harm
in very sweet.
And, like, being too encouraging or too nice.
Right.
And, like,
people
aren't really gonna turn down words of affirmation, I feel like.
Yeah.
No, I hate it.
If you try, maybe they will, but. Right.
Yeah.
Well, one of my friends does, but with humor.
Oh!
I feel like I'm trying to think of an example. she just feels very uncomfortable with, like,
so it's not everyone's
genuine compliments.
But it's like, you really can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong.
Right. Yeah.
Even if their reaction is, like, push away,
it? Like, they can love still it. Be,
yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So it's like, I still
and just, like knowing that
premise there.
Yeah. In the back of their minds, even if they're, like, denying it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I've definitely had to work on, like, how to take a compliment.
Yeah.
But
just because you're uncomfortable with it doesn't mean that, like, you don't need to hear it or want to hear it.
Yes.
Yeah. Or doesn't mean that it's not true that someone's telling you that.
Yeah.
So true.
Can I say one more piece? Sorry. Yeah. But just in terms of the acts of service, too, I feel like we've sort of talked about this, but I think it just means a lot to me, too. It's not even necessarily, like, oh, you're going to fix whatever in my house or my tire or whatever, but it's just, like, people, like, it does sort of tie into the quality time, but, like, people being willing to go do things that, like, why would you want to go do? Like, when you do it yourself, you're like, this is, like, the worst, like, adult task ever.
Yeah.
Or you're just in, like, a bad situation that you're just like, why would I, like, I'm being so vague, but just, like, why would I want to, like, do this alone, like, period, or do this at all, and then someone's like, oh, I'm gonna, like, come with you, and just acts like it's, like, not even a big deal, and, like, that's, like, a huge sacrifice, because it's, like, their time,
like,
and, like,
quality time, acts of service combo.
That, right, so, yeah.
Because it's just the fact that, like, oh, we get to spend time together while we have to do this, like, thing.
Right.
Get this thing.
And I think it just feels very familial, which I think is very important to me, to, like, feel, like, you know, that I want my friends to feel like I'm their family, and I want to feel like my friends are my family.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Anyways.
I can go, because I can bounce off of those. I feel like I also, right now, I'm trying to decide if I would say words of affirmation or gifts. I feel like I've always said words of affirmation, and that probably is still true. Like, I love a handwritten note, a text, spoken word.
Spoken word.
No, I feel like
a poem.
Right.
Yeah.
A poem
and I think there's, like, I mean, it could just be something as simple as, like, I love to hang out with you.
Yeah.
Well, I think, like, when there's specificity, too, of, like, I love, like, this thing that we did, or this thing that we talked about, or this thing about you. Because then I think I feel very known, but I would also say I love gifts.
Me too!
I think it just goes along with, like, the thoughtfulness that you, like, considered me, and, like, knew me enough to know that, like, I would like this. This would mean a lot to me. And then you followed through on it. I love it when it feels like you understood me, you knew I would like it. But that feels like a lot of pressure to put on people. All that to say, when it's done well.
But I think you even like appreciate, like, little things that people do. It doesn't have to be a grand
flowers
gesture.
Flowers or a little note. Like, I think that could be a gift or a coffee.
Yeah.
I think of those things as gifts, too.
Which is really beautiful, because some people don't. Shouldn't say a lot. Some people don't.
So I think the gifts probably go with, like, the individualistic, creative, thoughtfulness piece that I try and do for other people. Not all the time, but
I think you're a very good gift giver.
I love giving people gifts and, like, getting to, like, curate, like, oh, I think that you would like this thing, and this is why. But
that's very sweetie. You're very good at giving gifts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jamie, Sheila, bring us home.
for a 2-hour
episode.
I
would also...
No one's going to listen to me.
I would also...
I mean, I think quality time is probably my top one, but I also think gifts is another one for me.
I love.
I love giving gifts. I love picking out things. I love, like... But I think it totally taps into the, like, I see you, and I know you, and, like, I know that you, like, I thought of you when I saw this thing, or whatever. Yeah. So, I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty
I think you're, like, very good at just, like, giving things to people, like, very freely, and, like, you are consistently, like, through the week, like, I baked this thing for you, or, like, here, I got this little thing that made me think of you. Or here's this note. Like, I think that you just, like,
you probably more effort than I.
But people just see it as, like, oh, like, you just do this all the time. I think you do it very often.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
Your Enneagram shining?
Yeah. Say it.
We shouldn't have had me bring us home.
Sorry.
Okay.
I know. I didn't want to give you a crisis. If you don't need to answer, that's okay.
No, it's not a crisis.
Okay.
The girls know that I don't think I know my love languages. Or
sometimes
I
wish you knew.
Not for sure.
So
I think
could just
I
love you in the way you want to
know,
be loved.
But I feel like when I take the test and they ask me questions, I'm like, sure, yeah, like, that's awesome. And, like, that's awesome when someone
that
does
works.
That for me. And, like, that's cool when someone does that for me, too. But I think it maybe this is my Enneagram coming out because I'm just, like, fine with whatever. Like, whatever people want to do, like, that's fine with me. But I do think, like, when I think about them, like... Probably quality of time. It was very good quality hangout.
Yep.
So were any points or not? Quality time. I think acts of service, and maybe physical touch because I feel like that makes me feel like close to people. And I think
it
like
to be high up there. For
growing up,
it cuts so deep
because
I'm
like
so bad at loving
a
people
hugger
who
and
love
a kisser
physical touch.
Of like my like siblings and stuff,
right.
Of like my sisters, and like my family is very like physical touch, I think, as a family. Like,
I would agree with that, yeah.
Which I think I've realized like since growing up, of like, oh, like when someone like gets home, we like get up and like hug each other, and like, like every time, it's like very much like a
that's
physical
so
touch.
Cute.
So I actually think that might be high up for me,
yeah.
But I don't know what that means for my Enneagram because like I don't know, I think any number can be
yeah.
physical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe.
No, that's okay if it doesn't tie in.
I don't know. But, yeah, I think acts
honoring.
Of service and that, like, it's the same thing with other numbers of, like, if someone does something that feels like they know you or that,
yeah.
like, especially caters to, like, what they know you enjoy based on your Enneagram, maybe, or your personality, like, when the girls throw me a surprise birthday party, like, they know I love surprises.
Mm-hmm.
They know I love, like, spontaneity and, like,
yeah.
a fun party. And
mm-hmm.
so it's, like, that was an act of service. That, like, plays to my, like, what
yeah.
I enjoy. So, it's, like, that felt really nice.
Yeah.
Nicely. Very good. So, yeah. And, yeah, I think just doing, I think acts of service is maybe how I also, like, think about loving others.
Mm.
And so then when people do it for me, that, like, makes sense to me. Because it's, like, I don't know if I'm always good at, like, words of affirmation. I don't know, because I think, like, I don't think about, like, how I need them, because I think I, like, pretty confident, and, like, I know who I am, and so
yeah,
then,
she is.
And so then I, like, don't always think about giving them, but then I'll just, like, do it instead of say it, and I don't know. So, I feel like it plays into, like, how I think about showing love, and then that's how I'm like, oh, yeah. So, that's not very clear,
well,
but...
And it's, like, it can be, like, kind of complex, or...
Yeah.
Bumpy of, like, trying to figure out the ways that you receive love the best versus show love the best.
Right.
That's what
and
always confused me about love languages as well, is, like, okay, is that how
sometimes
you
it
like
doesn't
to receive
go.
Love? But
sometimes
then
it doesn't go.
And
then
it's all about, like, I don't know,
yeah.
I think just, like, a common thread or theme from, like, our whole conversation is that, like, there are a lot of nuances.
Yes.
Yep.
To every type, and even, like, you yourself, if even if you resonate with a type, like, there's a lot of nuance in that. And, like,
yeah.
giving yourself permission to be a lot of different things in one, and like continuing to know yourself more and then know other people more as well, like doing both those things
yep.
at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the start of a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
as this is the start of a conversation.
Yep. Just, like, being curious, I think, and, like, wanting to know more about yourself and wanting to know more about how other people function and, like, what makes them feel really cared for, what could be, like, really hard for them to do or to sit with.
Right.
Like, balancing all those things. Not that you need to be an expert in everything, but just,
but
like...
But it's really helpful.
I think in general, even if you don't want to subscribe to the Enneagram.
Yeah.
But, like, just knowing that, like, people do have different motivations and different, like, demeanors and dispositions and, like, yeah, just honoring those things as, like, equally important and valid and knowing that, like, you can play to the strengths of all those things.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it just adds a lot of richness and beauty to our lives and depth to our relationships.
And I feel like knowing other people's Enneagrams should make you, like, want to know them more, not want to know them less, because you're, like, putting them in a box.
Exactly.
Right? But rather, like, it's, like, the start of a...
Like, learning those nuances.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's, I feel like...
It's, like, square one of, like, getting to
and
know someone even more.
Even though...
Your love language.
We, like, enjoy talking about it a lot, I feel like.
Yeah.
Just because I think it is interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think that, like, every conversation or hangout we have, we're like, oh, like, I'm feeling, like... I was less of a four today. I was a less healthy four. Like, we're not bringing
it
up
into
in
astrology
that. We're not bringing it up in conversation,
day to day,
but I think just, like,
no.
It allowed for, like, more specific names or, like, descriptions
like
of maybe
framework.
How we feel. A framework
gives you language.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's
and
not
even
something
if
that
we
talk
speak
about
it out,
all the time.
I think there's, like, an internal understanding once you kind of know.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is so great.
You just can't, like, over-intellectualize it all the time, even though maybe that's what we just did tonight. It's kind of fun.
A little bit, just to, like,
but
hash it out.
I think
on
day to day, as you're saying, to, like, over-analyze it all would be, like, detrimental to you and others. To
yeah,
just, like,
but just knowing,
but
like,
to just know
you
it,
have
be aware of it.
Unique strengths that you can bring.
Yeah.
That just add a lot of goodness to the world and, like, can impact people and, like, change their lives in a lot of really positive ways.
For good.
For good.
But I think, like, that's what I think about when I, like, look at all of you and think about your personalities and the ways that, like, we're all very different and very similar in other ways.
Yes.
But, like, we are very different and operate in very different ways.
It's just so
But I think
beautiful.
That, like, makes me reflect and think on things. And, like, all the best parts about all of you are, like, things that I want to emulate and myself and the ways that I show up for my friends and my family. And
yeah.
So just, like, taking all those little things.
Which is, like, the
and
best.
And storing the most. So.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for chatting for so long.
Thank you for
and
this was so beautiful. Thank you
for
letting us come chat.
Precious friends and just some of my favorite people in the whole world. I love you.
Thanks
for
being
here.
You guys so much better after this.
This is awesome. All right.
All love. One love.
Catch you guys later.
Can't wait to be back.
Or not. Maybe this will be the death.
Yeah.
You never know
the death
with
the
podcast.
No.
Never.
Okay. Talk to you guys sometime.
Bye.
I hope you guys enjoyed listening to this episode. Hopefully you were able to follow our conversation. I know it kind of bounced around to a lot of different topics and different rabbit holes and things. We didn't have a lot of questions prepped. But I think it just felt candid and a lot more natural to record this way. And I really enjoyed the conversation that it brought. But yeah, I really appreciate you guys listening. Hopefully you can pull out some little insights or things to reflect on for yourself. And I will talk to you guys in another episode. Love you so much. Bye.